What is our purpose? Not to just say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I believe in Jesus. But what are we doing on a regular basis to feel like we are encountering, we are on a mission, we are on a journey with Jesus? There are, as I said, many statements that Jesus made saying, it is for this reason that I have come. But one of the most important, or maybe not the most important, one of the most foundational is the one I want to start with today. Because I think if we can get this statement, if we can understand what Jesus is really calling and saying here, it'll set the foundation for everything else that we talk about. That if we can look at Jesus' other statements and the things he's calling us to from this perspective, it'll be transformative for us. And it'll give us a platform from which we can grow and which we can move. Okay, so where I want to look at today, there are three different scriptures, all in the book of John. And if you want to kind of just put your finger there as sort of a bookmark, we're going to be looking in the chapters of John, chapter 3, chapter 6, and chapter 8. But I want to start John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus makes this statement, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I want to read that one more time. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. There are three parts to that statement that I want to look at. And that's what we're going to look at today, are the three parts of that statement. But before we get into that, let me read you one that's very close to it in John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus says again, I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. One of the most famous scriptures that we know in all of Christendom, I think, is at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. But the scripture that comes right after it is so in line with these statements from Jesus. It says, for God did not send his Son. Did you hear the words? He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What's the common trait that we hear in all of these verses that Jesus states? That he was sent. He did not come of his own accord. He was sent. He did not come to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. Jesus is here because God wanted him to be here. Jesus is sent on a mission. And like Jesus, we are being sent. Right? We'd probably like to be able to say, and I know we say this a lot of times, we have been called. You know what being called really is? It's being sent. When you say, I've been called into the mission field, God is saying, I'm sending you out. When you said, I've been called to follow Jesus, he's saying, I'm sending you out. Once we accept Jesus, we're accepting the mission. Yeah, I remember that scripture when Isaiah has this vision of being in heaven and the angel and God is there talking, and they say, who is there that would go out and do this mission? And Isaiah raises his hand and he says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Like Isaiah, that should be our daily cry. Here I am, God. Send me. The question is, where was Jesus sent. I think it's a fairly straightforward one that we can read each time Jesus was sent into the world. What, where are you being sent? Into the world. Because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want to focus for a second on John 8, verse 42 again. And I want to look not just at the him who sent me part, but this other part. I came from God, and I am here. I don't know that there's much more of a profound statement in its simplicity than that. I came from God, I am here. I want you to think for a moment about the significance of God saying, I am here. He doesn't say, I'm over there. He doesn't say, I'm way up here and I'm unattainable. He said, I came from God. I am here. The way God works a lot of times in my own in my own kind of daily walk is I've got something that's in my mind, something I'm kind of stewing on and working through, working over. And as I'm praying or as I'm reading scripture and going through kind of my daily reading, sometimes things will pop out of the texture or out of the text, I mean, that I haven't seen and read exactly like this before. Has that ever happened to you? You can read the same thing over and over, but you don't see it until all of a sudden God needs you to see it. And then it's the only thing you can see in that scripture. I was reading this week something I've read lots of times in a very unlikely book to be thinking about journeying with Jesus. And I was reading in the book of Job. And Job, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I read Job, I get a little bit caught in the weeds of all the complaints and the laments and the things that are happening, and my eyes sort of glaze over a little bit, and I kind of skim through some of the laments and the complaints and the things, but not this time. This time God wanted me to see something, and I want to share it with you. In Job chapter, you know what? I didn't write the chapter down. I'll give it to you later. Job says this: if only there were a mediator between God and me, someone that could bring us together. That mediator could keep God from punishing me, and then I would no longer live in terror of his punishment. Yet even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is there on high. My friends scorn me. And I pour out my tears before God, but I need someone to mediate between God and me as a person mediates between friends. Job's cry is the cry of every heart in the world. If only there was someone that could mediate between God and me. Without Jesus, it is unattainable to reach God. Without Jesus, we had no way to save ourselves. Without Jesus, we are completely in God's wrath, in complete terror of his punishment. And Job is living through that and crying out, oh God, what if there were a mediator? If only. Thank God we have Jesus. Jesus bridges the gap between heaven and earth. Jesus made the way to get to God. Jesus was not content to stay in heaven and call us to try to achieve some unattainable goal, to a mark that was so high that no one could do it. Instead, he brought heaven here. I came from God, and I am here. You know what your most valuable asset as you are being sent out into the world? Do you know what your most valuable asset is? That you bring the very presence of God to bear on the world. That you carry with you. Do you remember that last series we talked about that we are His temple? Do you not know that Paul says that we, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is what transformed that beautiful building that Solomon made into something more. And it's what transforms our humble, weak, imperfect bodies with our imperfect minds and our mess ups and all of the stuff into something that can come to bear on humanity. We bring the very presence of God to bear into the world. In that first verse that I read, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven. We are being sent. And second, we are being sent to bring the presence of God to people in order to introduce them to Jesus. We are being sent into the world. Sorry, guys. We are being sent into a world that needs saving. But the only way that they can be saved is through Jesus. We are the mediation for the people. We bring the good news, bringing the presence of God to the people of God so that we can introduce them to Jesus. I want to tell you two stories about this to kind of illustrate this point. One of them is with Jesus and the other is with a disciple of Jesus. In John chapter 5, Jesus is, well, as was his custom, he was walking around. He goes to a pool at Bethesda. You might remember the story. There's a, I don't know if you'd call it a rumor or a, there was an idea that at the pool of Bethesda, there was water that was there, and if sometimes they said an angel would come and stir up the water, and anyone that was injured or hurting or an invalid or any of this blind, lame, paralyzed, any of them could walk into the water, and if just by chance they might be healed. And there's a man there in the water who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he'd been there a long time, and he says to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answers him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm going, another steps down before me." To me, this man so much represents the people that we are being called to in the world. This man has faith that he can be healed. This man is longing and wanting and believing that he can be something, that something better is out there. He knows it's there, but he's got his faith in the wrong place. He has his faith that if I can just do this or just get in this water, if I can just be good enough, if I can just do enough right things, if I can just believe hard enough. He's trying to achieve the unachievable. He doesn't need someone to help him into the pool. He needed someone to introduce him to Jesus. When Jesus comes and he says, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." That's what we're called to into the world. We are called to reach out to the people who have their faith in the wrong place, who are trusting in something else to save them, who don't understand that the saving that they need is standing right in front of them. They need someone to introduce them to Jesus, because if they don't encounter Jesus, how will they be saved? How will they find their way? They're looking the wrong direction. This man is standing next to Jesus and he's looking at the water. I want to tell you another story, not about Jesus, but about Jesus' disciple. In Acts chapter 8, verse 31, there's a story about Jesus' disciple Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. And right at the beginning of their encounter together, Philip asks the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Man's reading scripture. He's got the word of God in front of him. But sort of like the man that's at the pool, the healing he needs, the thing he needs to save him's right there. But he just doesn't understand. He just doesn't see it. And so he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with that scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. See, we have a world of people out there that have the access to the Bible. They have the access to Scripture. They've seen the bumper stickers. They've seen it on our t-shirts. They've seen it broadcast and hear it on the radio. And they know the sign, John 3:16. I bet they know that. A lot of people who don't trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior know who Jesus is. But they're not connecting the dots. How can they unless someone explains it to them? Unless someone is willing to go and lead them? And so we are being sent to bring the very presence of God to the people, to introduce them to Jesus. But I want you to take a look at Philip, because there's a little bit more to Philip's story than just his encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. Take a look at how Philip gets into this situation and into this position. At the beginning of that story, it says in Acts 8:26 that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go." And so he rose and went. That's what it said. I love that. I love the simplicity of that. The angel said, "Rise and go," and he rose and went. Now I want you to notice where he's calling him to. It says, the angel of the Lord said, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And then there's this extra little sentence. I think it's so critical that we hear and understand this little sentence. "This is a desert place." So many times God calls us and says, "Rise and go to this place." And he's not super specific with where he wants to go. It's like the calling of Abram. He says, "Rise and go to the place that I'll show you." And he tells Philip to rise and go to this place. And I bet you Philip knew exactly what that place looked like. And he thought, "Lord, there is nothing there. Why would I go to this desert place? Why, God, are you calling me to this place where there's nothing? Why are you calling me to this place that's hot and dry and uncomfortable? And I don't want to be there. I want to be in this comfortable place where I am right now. Why are you calling me to this place?" But it says that Philip rose and he went. And then the Spirit of the Lord tells Philip, "Go over and join that chariot." So you know what Philip does? He runs over and joins the chariot. Philip's really good at this, isn't he? I love this. And I read you what happens. And then it says he baptizes the Ethiopian. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carries Philip away. And Philip found himself at Azotus. And he passed through. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel. Preached the good news to all the towns he came in until he got to Caesarea. Philip was sent. Not only was Philip sent, where he was sent, he told the people the good news. He introduced them to Jesus. But Philip knew something else. Philip knew the last and the most important piece in all of this together. Philip knew that it's not about us. It's about him. John 8:42, going back to that scripture, Jesus says, I came from God and I am here. I didn't come of my own accord, but he sent me. You know what that word accord means? It's not a car made by Honda. I mean, it is a car made by Honda, but that's not what it means. Accord means for myself. What he's saying is, I didn't come for myself. I'm not here for myself. I'm here because God sent me. In John 6:38, he says a very similar thing. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Not to do my own will, but his will, the one that leads me, the one who sent me. In this case, the will means our own desires, our own purposes. He says, I didn't come for my own purpose, for my own desire. I came for his. You see, it's all about Jesus. We are to daily die to our own self, to take up the cross, as Jesus says, to go where he leads us. Because once we start to follow Jesus, it's not about us anymore. We're not living for ourselves anymore. We're living to do the will of him who sent us. I want to recap what we looked at, and I want to do it through a story that is from my own personal life that seems like forever ago because it was a long time ago. When I was 15 years old, I started working in a pizza place in my hometown, a small, not a chain, just a single, you know, independently owned pizza joint called AJ's Heavenly Pizza. I loved their pizza first, so I wanted to work there because I knew I'd get some of it. And when you're 15, you just want pizza. And I went to work at that place, and I was in charge of making the pizza and putting toppings on and getting the pizza ready. But I tell you what I really wanted to do is I wanted to deliver the pizzas. That's what I wanted to do more than anything. But I was only 15. I couldn't wait. When I turned 16, I got my driver's license, and I got my chance. I got to deliver the pizzas. I loved delivering pizzas. But you know what I realized about delivering the pizzas? I would bring the pizzas to the people's house. And you know what they would have on there? They'd have such a good smile on their face, and they were so happy that I was there because I brought them pizza. And they loved pizza. But you know what? I was only bringing them the pizza. They weren't there for me. I wasn't bringing them me. I was bringing them the pizza. And if they loved the pizza and they said, this is the best pizza I've ever eaten, I said, great! I didn't make it. The people over there made it. You see, we're called on this mission, the gospel of Jesus, to go and bring the good news to the people. But it's not about us. We're just there to bring the pizza. We bring the good news, and it says how beautiful the feet are that bring the good news, and they receive it and they go, this is the best news. It's exactly what I was waiting for. I've been waiting for this for so long. And you say, great, he did it. I didn't do it. All I did was carry it. We're being sent. Folks, we're being sent to bring the good news, to bring the very presence of God to a world that needs pizza, that a world that needs Jesus. They're thirsting for Him. They're calling. They're waiting for that delivery to come. They are waiting for it. They're hungry for it. And when you connect with that person that's waiting for that pizza delivery, everything is exactly what they need. It's the Ethiopian eunuch. It's the man that was at the pool. It's so many that Jesus encountered when they received Him and they said, this is what I've needed my whole life. It's all about Jesus. It's not our will. It's His will. I didn't bring the people the pizza just because I felt like it. I didn't bring the people the pizza because it seemed like a fun idea at the time. I brought the people the pizza because they sent me to take them the pizza. Isn't that how it's supposed to be with God? He sends us and He says, that guy over there needs pizza. Go take him some. We're on a journey with Jesus. And our job is to learn to follow the way that Jesus followed. Because God's will is good. God's will is perfect. And not only does He love you, but He loves all of the people. And He's calling us to go to them to be the good news.